America, we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Hold on, ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. Best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Air Force.
Yo. And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the side, going down. Audio Shop Talk right in your ear hole, brought to you by yours truly, Joseph Ward, right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com, because this is the realest, blackest, and funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your life, and it really goes down inside. Season 5 is here, man. We 5 seasons in this thing. We 5 deep up in here. What? I ain't even, didn't even conceive being 5 deep, but we 5 seasons in this thing, man. And I'm excited to be back for a good 5th season. Oh, man. A lot has happened since we last talked. First of all, I would just want to say to all of my listeners, thank you to all of my listeners, you all are the greatest audience a brother can have. I appreciate y'all, man. I appreciate everybody who takes the time out to support the Freedom Train and the Fix Sports Podcast and everything that we have going on. I love you all, and I appreciate you all, because if it wasn't for you, like I always say, we're nothing without our fans. We're nothing without our supporters. If you people are not supporting us, then we ain't talking about nothing. So I appreciate you all. I'm going to give you all this harmonica. Bring the harmonica back, season 5, baby. You hear me? Hey, but before we get a little deep, I'm going to make sure we give a shout-out to our sponsor, On the Shoulders of Giants. And remember, On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go. Easy, easy access to learn the stories of the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora that we normally wouldn't learn about. And On the Shoulders of Giants achieves that through their On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available on the website at www.ontheshouldersone.com, the On the Shoulders of Giants online courses, which is available on Patreon. So if you visit www.patreon.com/OTSOG, you get access to become a patron to support On the Shoulders of Giants, but also to get access to the online courses. There's the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization. And also you can get On the Shoulders of Giants to come to you physically to teach information, keynote speaking engagements, whether it's educational sessions, get in the classroom, whatever you need, On the Shoulders of Giants, they can give it to you, whether it's digital or face-to-face. All you got to do is visit the website at www.ontheshouldersone.com. And once again, it's African history stories of the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora that we normally don't learn about that's at your fingertips. So go check it out. Once again, www.ontheshouldersone.com. While you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Learn more about myself, Patrick Enigma September, Shelby Davis, and the plethora of things that we got going on. March 7th, we're doing a conjoined Freedom Train live show with all of our podcasts. We're doing a live broadcast. We got some things that we're going to throw up in there. So once we get all of the details worked out, we're going to tell you everything, but just know March 7th, you stay tuned then. If you're in the Tallahassee area, then, you know, you may be one of the lucky few that get to sit in on the live show. But if not, then you can always catch it, man. So stay tuned, man. We got something coming up for you all. Also, you can support The Fix, this Fix Sports Podcast. You can become a patron and support The Fix Sports Podcast on Patreon. www.patreon.com/TheFix. Support your homeboy. Now, I'm not going to have video for this first episode. A couple technical difficulties, and I can't have the video this time, but I want to make sure I still get this podcast out. Nobody going to stop me from getting this podcast out. I may not be able to do it how I want to do it every time, but I'm going to get this goddamn podcast out. I'm going to get this motherfucking podcast out. You hear me? This motherfucking podcast going to drop now. You hear me? But I'm going to do my best to make sure I get my stuff together, get my technology together. This is a technological fail. Not on my part, but my technology tripping on me. But get the technology together so I can make sure that I can keep my videos on Patreon so all the people who become patrons can actually see what's going on. And you see the full video. So once again, patreon.com/TheFix. Support your homeboy. So what we talking about today, Joe? Well, of course, this episode is dedicated to Kobe Bryant and everybody who died in the helicopter crash. This episode is dedicated to them. So, Kobe was that dude. Kobe was that dude to me. So, we talking about Kobe. So, my HBCU spotlight, I'm covering. There was a player from South Carolina State and a player from Tuskegee who won the Super Bowl last night. Wow. Two HBCU boys on the Kansas City Chiefs. You hear me? So, we're going to talk about those guys, give them their props for bringing that Super Bowl ring back to HBCU grounds. You heard me? So that's our first story. That's our HBCU spotlight shot. And, of course, like I said, I'm going to talk about Kobe Bryant and his death and cover Kobe and how great he was, but also address some of these crazy-ass rumors that's out there that's pissing me off. Not really pissing me off. It's not. Let me stop lying. It's not pissing me off, but they're talking points, so I'm going to get into it. Also, you know, get into the Super Bowl, what I thought about it, who I picked, the breakdown of it, and why I thought Kansas City won the game. Also going to get into the NFL awards, which happened weekend before last. And also tell you about the 2020 NFL Hall of Fame inductees, and I'm fucking excited. This is a great class. This is a great class. I'm fucking excited about this one. Of course, not going to dwell, spend too much time on it, but give a shout-out to LSU for winning the national championship, the NCAA national championship. You know, my show was on my sabbatical when they were doing their thing, when they won it. So do want to come back and give them their props. Also, give you some information about the XFL. It starts February 8th. Not too much, but XFL starts February 8th. So all the people like me who like football year-round, XFL going to be here this weekend. Also, giving you information about Maya Moore. Maya Moore is my favorite, one of my favorite basketball players. Right now, I ain't going to lie. Right now, Maya Moore is my favorite basketball player. And she set out the WNBA last year, and I didn't know why. Now I know, and I'm bringing up the speed of why she set out last year and why she's sitting out again this year. There was an altercation this past weekend in Miami between Javonte Davis and, I believe, the mother of his child, and the story just kind of came out this morning. I don't know when it broke, but I heard about the story this morning. So we're going to talk about that, Javonte Davis. And now our weekly rant is going to be aimed at the NBC reporter who was reporting on Kobe Bryant's death, who just so happened to call him a nigga during the broadcast. Some of y'all be like, ah, that ain't nothing, but I don't give a shit. This is a sports show. This is what the fuck we talk about. So we going in on her, giving her the business, you heard me? And that's how we do. And if somebody don't like it, I mean, it don't even matter. But guess what? It's time for that HBCU spotlight. Like this, HBCU spotlight that shit. We got the HBCU spotlight that shit. All right, so alumni from South Carolina State and Tuskegee get Super Bowl rings with the Kansas City Chiefs. So, cornerback Alex Brown is an alumnus of South Carolina State, and defensive assistant coach Terry Braden played at both Howard and Tuskegee. Oh, see, they was a little misleading in the headline. You was a little misleading in the headline. You ain't telling you how to play in our course, then, not. But that's what's up, though. Brown is a rookie who recorded two tackles during the regular season. He originally signed as an undrafted free agent with the 49ers after last year's NFL draft. Anybody thought still in the lead? That's what's up. Braden started his playing career at Howard before transferring to Tuskegee. He was a grad assistant at Bethune-Cookman under Terry Sims before joining the Chiefs. That's what's up. Alabama A&M alumnus defensive end Anthony Lanier is a part of the Chiefs organization, but he won't be getting a Super Bowl ring. Lanier was signed to a futures deal by the Chiefs on January 8th. Futures contracts allow players to sign with teams before the end of the current league year. They don't count against the active roster during the current league year. It cannot be activated during the postseason. But shit, my dog's still on now. But we got that coach. We got that boy, that coach, that Terry Braden, that coach now, and Alex Brown. But man, that's just great strides. That's just, I love to see, to hear stories and read stories to give information about our HBCU players who are going on to the professional levels and having success, because a lot of people believe that coming from HBCUs, you ain't gonna get nowhere. Like these organizations ain't looking for talent. Straight up. They looking for talent. If I'm a scout, my job is to find talent. I don't care where you are. You probably hit my stomach. I'm hungry than a bitch. I'm hungry for success, though. But my job is to find talent. I don't care if you play in Kalamazoo or Tougaloo. My job is to find talent. So as a scout, you could be playing, you could be from Coon Bottom, Florida. You could be from Two Egg, Florida. You could be from Wee Wah Hitchcock, Florida. You could be from Steen Hatchet, Sock Choppy, Chattahoochee, all that. If you a baller, the scout's going to find you. So like I always say every season, we do these HBCU spotlights for one, because goddamn it, I'm a product of a HBCU. And I'm going to do it because I want to do it for the first reason. But as a member of the media, now I'm a podcaster, I'm a member of the media and a black member of the media, it's my job to make sure we tell our stories. It's my job to make sure we tell our stories and we tell them right and we talk about our people right in the best light. So that's why I do the HBCU Spotlight. So I want to give a shout out to cornerback Alex Brown and assistant coach Terry Braden. So, man, come on now. Come on now. Y'all know how we do around here. So I want everybody to stand up, put y'all hands together for these boys right here on this HBCU Spotlight Session. Cornerback Alex Brown and Coach Terry Braden. Brown and Braden. Got me Super Bowl rings. Especially Braden got that ring. HBCU Spotlight that shit. Braden and Brown. That's what's up, man. So one time for both of those gentlemen for their achievements, and I hope they keep shining and keep winning, because damn it, that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be out here shining and winning. Shining and winning. But guess what, though? HBCU Spotlight Session. I'll break it down like two-step roll. I didn't go like this for my HBCU spotlight. That's ya. All right. So let's get into it. All right. We lost a great one, man. We lost a great basketball player. 2 Sundays ago, and I ain't gonna lie. If I get emotional, it's because I'm just thinking about the situation as a whole. People losing family members, but I had no idea how. I knew Kobe was loved. I knew Kobe was loved, especially by the NBA. I knew Kobe was loved because I ain't hear nobody really talking junk about Kobe. Even the realest, like when you got Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, two of the realest, two real ones now. Kendrick Perkins, like real ones, like cats who will beat your ass. That's what I'm talking about, like cats that'll slap the fuck out you and beat your ass. Like when you have cats like that, plus everybody else giving props to Kobe, like we knew Kobe was the man. Mamba mentality, right? Straight Mamba mentality. We knew Kobe was the man. But I had no idea around the world that Kobe was beloved the way he is. Now, celebrity worship does have something to do with that. And some of y'all people are crazy as hell. I seen this one dude with this fucked up Kobe Bryant tattoo. He need his ass whooped. Because if you're going to commemorate the man with a tattoo, goddamn it, get you a new one. He looked like he came to me and said, Joe, fuck me up. And that's what I did, right? But Kobe, like I said, I didn't know around the world outside of basketball how beloved he was. And tragically, Kobe and 8 others, including his daughter Gianna, they died in a helicopter crash. Kobe's private helicopter, coming from practice or going to practice. It was either coming or going, I can't remember, to his daughter's basketball practice, and all those people were going to the practice. And it was bad weather. The weather wasn't the greatest, and the helicopter crashed. Some of the reports say it was missing a piece that would have allowed them to kind of navigate a little better and see that some things were off. So nevertheless, the result was the plane crashed, and Kobe as well as 8 others perished in the crash. And I do want to make sure I acknowledge everybody who passed in the crash. So it's Kobe Bryant, Gigi Bryant, John Atabelli, his wife Carrie and daughter Alyssa, Sarah Chester, and pilot Ara Zobayan. So that's Kobe, his daughter, Kobe, Gigi, John Atabelli, Carrie Atabelli, Alyssa Atterbury, Sarah Chester, Ara Zobayan, Christina Mauser and Peyton Chester. So these are, hold up, others have been identified by family and friends as Brian's daughter Gianna Bryant, Christina Mauser, a coach at Harvard Day School named Corona Del Mar. Oh, yeah, okay, so. Yeah, so all 9, Kobe, Gigi, John Atabelli, Carrie Atabelli, Alyssa Atabelli, Sarah Chester, Ara Zobayan, Christina Mauser, and Peyton Chester. So before we go further, I'd like to give a 24-second for Kobe, right, for Kobe. I want to have 24-second moment of silence. So let's do it. Rest in peace, Kobe, Gigi, John Atabelli, Carrie Atabelli, Alyssa Atabelli, Atabelli, Sarah Chester, Ara Zobayan, Christina Mauser, and Peyton Chester. Rest in peace to you all. You will be missed. So I know for me, I wasn't really expecting to be. I didn't notice Kobe's impact on me personally. I really never thought about it. I always respected Kobe, and I always thought Kobe was the man. I always said Kobe. If we do a starting five of the best, the greatest players at each position, Kobe would have been on my second team as far as behind Michael Jordan. If we're doing the starting five as far as the greatest from each position, you know, for me, it would have been Magic, Jordan, LeBron, Tim Duncan, and either Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Wilt Chamberlain, or Bill Russell. I haven't made my mind up at the center position. It's either Kareem, Wilt, or Bill Russell that I would have at my center. I just ain't made my mind up. But if we did an all-time starting five of who I thought was the five greatest players, no matter the position, Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, Tim Duncan, and I'd probably go with Wilt Chamberlain. That team so live. Look at that team. Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, Tim Duncan, and Wilt Chamberlain. So the problem, the only problem between Jordan, Kobe, and Wilt is who going to give up that ball? You know what I'm talking about? Who's going to sacrifice some points and stuff? But Kobe on the court was a killer, man. Kobe, like, the mama mentality was some real shit, man. Kobe was the man. Kobe, he was dialed in. He was locked in. He was determined to be successful. Off the court, he let his work speak for himself. Did he have some? He had a couple issues. He had a couple hiccups, like the situation in Colorado, whatever. We ain't going to get into that. But that's one of the things that I want to talk about, too, is fuck all y'all bitch-ass people who keep bringing that stuff up like that man was a rapist. The man never got convicted up to be a rapist. You never found any information to prove it. So fuck all you bitch-ass people who out here trying to slander and smear that man's name. Yeah, he made mistakes. Shit, but if you're going to talk about him like that, you got to talk about yourself and everybody else. So shut the fuck up for you all and for you fuck-ass conspiracy theorist people. Heard a motherfucker saying Kobe Bryant was killed by the Grammys. Why the fuck would Kobe be killed by the Grammys? What's the last album he put out? Why? What interest does the Grammys have in Kobe? They ain't going to make nobody buy no goddamn albums. Then Dr. Umar Johnson put a video out talking about Kobe was killed by Big Pharma. Kobe was killed by the NBA, Big Pharma, and the Rockefellers. All right. So he said, Umar Johnson said, the NBA killed Kobe because Kobe was going to build a league to rival the NBA in China. Googled it, researched it. Couldn't find no information to support that. Did learn and reinforce that Kobe started the Mamba League for his daughter, youth league for his daughter and them to be able to play. So that's the league. We know that's one league he started. Then he said Big Pharma. Dr. Umar Johnson said Big Pharma tried to kill Kobe. There's the lawsuit thing. So Kobe has a lawsuit. I forgot the name of the company, but Kobe has a lawsuit against this company who was supposed to be manufacturing the supplements that he was creating, that he had his name on. And Kobe found out some of the ingredients in the supplement were not healthy, were not good ingredients. So he had an issue with that. And, you know, that kind of lawsuit came out, and Kobe was pushing for a settlement. The company was pushing for the act to go to trial. Why would you kill somebody and you're trying to go to trial? Then, so that, I didn't even really look into the Rockefeller angle because I didn't see the full video from Dr. Umar Johnson where he explained the Rockefeller angle because it cut off after the Big Pharma angle. But, man, people, stop trying to come up off this man's tragedy. This is a tragic situation, and all you fuck-ass people can do is think about is how you can come up off this situation. Nah, that's not how this goes. It's not how this goes. We would not allow you all to use this man for a come up of smearing this man's name. Kobe was a good dude. Was he perfect? No. Who is? But Kobe was a good dude. And I don't want to hear none of that bullshit that all y'all got to say. Kobe was a good dude on and off the court. People have nothing but good things to say about him. People who really knew him. People who were his friends. People who were his opponents. Now, another real one. Allen Iverson loved Kobe. Think about all these real ones. Think about all these people who call out the fakes. And that's why I'm naming some of these names of these basketball players that played with him, because these are the people who have a history of calling out the fakes. Kevin Garnett, all these, they weren't afraid of nobody. They'll swing on you. But they all had great things to say about Kobe Bryant. So like I said, this show is definitely dedicated to Kobe. I say Kobe impacted me. His work ethic, his mentality, his will to be the best. Like when I'm going back and I'm watching these videos of Kobe speak, and it's like, damn, dog, that's me. That's how I be thinking. Like, I be wanting to crush motherfuckers, man. I want to crush you. My competition, if you my competition, I want to take your soul. I'm going to take your soul and still kick you in your neck. So the next time you try to compete against me, you'll think twice, because I took your fucking soul and kicked you in your fucking neck repeatedly. You got to have that hunger. But he was a great example of what it takes to be successful, what it takes to be great, what it takes to be a legend, what it takes to be iconic, right? On and off the court, and then being able to transition off the court within less than 3 years or a year or two after retiring from basketball, when he won an Oscar for the project that he put out. He won an Oscar. And he had a lot more things in the works. He was growing as a businessman, becoming better. Family was growing. It's just a lot, man. So, Kobe, man. Kobe being Bryant, bro, you're going to be missed. You're definitely going to be missed. And you're going to be celebrated. I don't give a fuck about what nobody else doing in their house. You're going to be celebrated in my house, bro. As a sports fan, you're going to be celebrated in my house, Kobe. So, rest in peace, Kobe. Rest in peace, Gigi. And everybody else who died in that helicopter crash. Family and friends are definitely in our prayers, and you are in our prayers. And man, I say the best way to honor Kobe is to ball out in life. The best way the Lakers can honor Kobe is to win the ring. That's what Kobe would have wanted. And the best way you and I can honor Kobe is to be the best. Win. Be winners. Whatever it is, you better win. If you hosting the show, host the fuck out that show. If you cooking food, cook the fuck out that food. If you're a football player, be the greatest. If you're a basketball player, be the greatest. If you're a doctor, be the greatest. Be great, because that's what Kobe would have wanted. Kobe is the type of person who's going to push you to be great, because he pushed himself to be great. So if you call yourself a Kobe Bryant fan, or you supported Kobe at any point in his career, how you show Kobe or yourself that you truly honor him and you want to hold him up in his memory is to be your best. Give life your best. Give life your all. And if you're not doing that, then you ain't no real Kobe fan. Kobe, man, you will be missed. You will be missed, my brother. The only dude to never be afraid of talking shit to Michael Jordan, because Kobe like I bust your ass too. So, there it is. So, yes, sir. Kobe being Bryant. All right, so let me move on, because the Super Bowl happened yesterday. Of course, you know they honored Kobe at the Super Bowl. But I got to get into this, because goddamn Kyle Shanahan. What's up, bro? What's up, bro? Kyle Shanahan, this is the second Super Bowl you've been in the last 5 years, where the team that you was coaching, at some capacity coaching, I think he was the old coordinator of the Falcons when they played the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And he's the head coach of the 49ers in yesterday's Super Bowl. Well, your team went up into the fourth quarter with a lead and lost the game. So if you don't know, the Kansas City Chiefs, and shout out to the Kansas City Chiefs, and shout out to Andy Reid too, man. Andy Reid finally got him a Super Bowl ring, man. Like, after all of these years, Andy Reid finally got him a win, man. So, y'all put your hands together for the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid for getting that Super Bowl victory, you heard me? Yes, y'all. Don't stop. I feel the beat creep, and you don't stop. And yes, y'all. And you don't stop. That's how some of them fans sounded last night. But I'm not mad at the Chiefs, bro. I'm not, even though they should have lost that game, I'm not mad at them because the 49ers lost that game. I don't care what nobody say, the 49ers lost that game. They beat themselves. They shot themselves in the fucking foot trying to get cute. You're going into the fourth quarter, 10-point lead, and you're trying to get cute and show the world that Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback who you all say he was and who these other people are trying to say he was, the second coming of Tom Brady. He's an elite quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo got exposed a bit. Now, I'm not going to say fully exposed, but he got exposed a bit because there's always room for growth. If we don't see Jimmy G get better from this point on, then, yeah, he got fully exposed. But he got exposed to a bit because Jimmy G ain't the strength of that offense. Their running game is, and the 49ers decided that they was going to let Jimmy G bring it home instead of running the goddamn ball, and that's how they end up losing because the 49ers scored 10 points in the third quarter. So the score was 10-10 at halftime. 49ers scored 10 points in the third quarter. The Chiefs scored none. Going into the fourth quarter, ain't even the time going down had a lead, and the Chiefs end up putting up 21 points in the fourth quarter, but 14 significant points. The 14 points won them the game. The 21 points were just a kick in the nuts. The 21st, that last touchdown was just a kick in the nuts. The game was over by then. San Francisco had just got the turnover on downs. Jimmy Garoppolo, Emmanuel Sanders was open, bro. He was like double cover, but he was open on the little post, and Jimmy G missed him. And then that was the third down play. But then my thing was, why the fuck would you take that shot on third down? Like, why don't you try to get the ball to Debo or something like that? Like, that whole last drive that the 49ers had before the Kansas City Chiefs scored that third touchdown was a horrible drive. Like, the San Francisco defense did what they were supposed to do, but they can only hold up for so much longer, especially if the offense is just going to go flat. And Kyle Shanahan trying to get cute, trying to show the world that Jimmy Garoppolo is an elite quarterback, and their offense went flat. It was 6 minutes in the game. My thought was run the ball down their motherfucking throat. Nope. Even Troy Aikman has commented, hey, man, this is the time where San Francisco usually put the game away by running the ball down people's throat. Nope, that didn't happen. Why? Because Kyle Shanahan wanted to get cute, and that's how San Francisco ended up losing that game. So shout out to Pat Mahomes, Super Bowl MVP. Some people who was like, Mahomes shouldn't have been MVP, but Mahomes should have been MVP because Mahomes made the plays in the critical situations that need to be made. Now, there is an argument for the running back Williams from the Chiefs. There is an argument for him. But the most significant plays that were made, Pat Mahomes made those plays. He made the throws and all those things that he needed to make, and things came through. Sammy Watkins, shout out to Sammy Watkins. Shout out to Tyreek Hill. Shout out to Travis Kelce. The other receiver, I can't remember his name. But shout out to Sammy. Sammy Watkins had a good game. If Sammy Watkins wouldn't have been balling out, it wouldn't have opened up things for Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Because in the beginning, Tyreek Hill came on more so late in the game after Sammy Watkins got cooking. Because Richard Sherman did not have a good game. Sammy Watkins got his ass. Tyreek got his ass. So shout out to Sammy Watkins, man. The way he played, it helped everything else open up. And Kansas City took advantage of the bullshit San Francisco was doing. So Garoppolo went 20 for 31, 219 yards, one touchdown and two picks. Listen to this. The running back Mostert only had 12 carries for 58 yards. Right? Debo Samuel had 3 carries for 53 yards. Tevin Coleman had 5 carries for 28 yards. San Francisco was not committed to really running the ball like they were supposed to have. They only ran the ball 21 times. They're between three people, they ran the ball 21 times. Mostert should have had 20 carries himself. Coleman should have had at least 10, 15 carries himself. You know what I'm saying? But they decided to try to make Jimmy G do, and they lost the game. Let me show you. Pat Mahomes went 26 for 42, 286 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. Their running back Williams had 17 carries, 104 yards, 1 touchdown. Pat Mahomes had 9 carries, 29 yards, and a touchdown. Tyreek Hill had 9 receptions, 105 yards. Sammy Watkins had 5 catches, 98 yards. Travis Kelce had 6 catches, 43 yards, and touchdowns. And Williams had 4 receptions, 29 yards, and touchdowns. So Williams did ball out, but Pat Mahomes orchestrated those things. And if you got to watch the game, you have to go back and watch the game. Pat Mahomes should have won MVP of that game. So shout out to Andy Reid. Shout out to the Kansas City Chiefs, because it's been a minute since the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. It's been a hot, over 50-some years, something like that. It's been a minute. So I want to give a round of applause to the Kansas City Chiefs for winning 2020 Super Bowl. Yeah. Let's move on. Let's move on. Let's move on. I am on a time constraint, so do my best not to rush through it, but make sure I get the information, but not drag it along as well, because I'm on a time constraint. Got about an hour left before I got to get my ass off. So let's talk about NFL honors, which is the NFL awards, which is the best players in the NFL, the best contributors in the NFL. So I want to give shout outs to everybody who was in the running for these awards and everybody who won, right? So the rookie of the year is Nick Bosa of the San Francisco 49ers. He won rookie of the year. Unanimously, Lamar Jackson is the NFL MVP. So this is the FedEx Air and Ground Players of the Year. So basically the best quarterback and the best running back, right? So, of course, Lamar Jackson got the overall NFL MVP, but he also got the FedEx Ground Air Player of the Year, and Derrick Henry got the FedEx Ground Player of the Year. That's some new thing. So that's some new thing for me. So we do know Derrick Henry also got the rushing title. The AP Defensive Player of the Year is my dog, Stephon Gilmore. Shout out to Stephon Gilmore, man. I love to see cornerbacks win Defensive Player of the Year. A Salute to Service Award goes to former Chargers linebacker Donnie Edwards. The Offensive Rookie of the Year is Kyler Murray. The Offensive Player of the Year is Michael Thomas, the wide receiver of the Saints. Anything but Ordinary Player of the Year presented by Microsoft, it goes to Larry Fitzgerald, OG Legendary Hall of Famer, Larry Fitzgerald. The AP Defensive Rookie, right, the AP Defensive Rookie of the Year is Nick Bosa. The Art Rooney Sportsmanship Award go to the Washington Redskins running back Adrian Peterson. The Comeback Player of the Year is Ryan Tannehill, and that's much deserved because Tannehill did get his team to the AFC Championship game, and I would have never thought Tannehill got that. But Derrick Henry and that defense had a lot to do with that. The AP Assistant Coach of the Year is Baltimore Ravens Offensive Coordinator Greg Roman. The Deacon Jones Award, which is you a baller on the D-line, is Tampa Bay Buccaneers Shaquille Barrett. The Bud Light Sally of the Year, I don't know what the fuck that means, but Bud Light Sally of the Year, Seattle Seahawks wide receiver court for NSYNC, but I don't know what the fuck that is. The Don Shula NFL High School Coach of the Year go to Matt Land and Dalton High School in Dalton, Georgia. The Courtyard Unstoppable Performance of the Year is Kansas City quarterback Patrick Mahomes in Week 2 against the Raiders. The AP Coach of the Year is Coach John Harbaugh. The Daily Fantasy Player of the Year presented by DraftKings is Carolina Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey. The AP Most Valuable Player of the Year is Lamar Jackson. And the Walter Payton, to me, one of the most important, probably the most important, the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year award goes to Jacksonville Jaguars defensive lineman Calais Campbell. So those are the winners of the NFL honors. Then also coming up, let's give these boys. Y'all put y'all hands together for everybody. Lamar Jackson being a unanimous NFL MVP and everybody who won these awards for the NFL honors. Y'all put y'all hands together for these folks, man. Go ahead and do it. You better get on up, down, baby. We have no time. Baby. Everybody in the honors. Now, what I'm excited about is this 2020 Hall of Fame class. So I'm going to give you the class, and then I'm going to come back and give you the class. Right? So the 2020 Hall of Fame class, the Pro Football Hall of Fame class, man, I want to watch this right now. Every one of these players I loved. Everyone. Steve Atwater, baller. Isaac Bruce, baller. Steve Hutchinson, baller. Hey, man, if you don't know who Steve Hutchinson is, you ain't no real football fan. I'm going to just say that. If you don't know who Steve Hutchinson is, you are not a real fan. He was a guard, an offensive guard. He played for the Oilers for a little bit. Steve Hutchinson, baller, man. The Edge, man. I'm going to come back. That's last. Forget that. That's going to be last. Troy Polamalu, legendary Troy Polamalu got in. The Hair, baller. And then my motherfucking dog, the Edge, number 5 at Miami and number 28 for the Colts, Edgerrin James, over 10,000 rushing yards in his career, and now is a member of the NFL Hall of Fame class of 2020, man. What's up? What's up, baby? I'm so hyped about that, man. Isaac Bruce, Steve Atwater. Steve Atwater should have been in. Two, Steve Atwater should have been in the Hall of Fame. Steve Hutchinson should have been in the Hall of Fame. But I understand Isaac Bruce, Troy Polamalu, but Edgerrin James should have been in there as well. He's been retired long enough. Polamalu and Isaac Bruce, it's their time. But, man, I'm so excited about these five players, man. Really, some of the best football I watching these five players, man. So now let's get a little deeper into that. So, like I say, Edgerrin James, Isaac Bruce, Troy Polamalu, Steve Atwater, and Steve Hutchinson are the new era players. So during the annual NFL Honors Award show in Miami, the Pro Football Hall of Fame announced its class of 2020, which once again, Edgerrin James, Isaac Bruce, Troy Polamalu, Steve Atwater, Steve Hutchinson. Polamalu, the only first ballot member of this year's class. Hutchinson is in his third year of eligibility. James and Bruce were each in their sixth year of eligibility, while Atwater has been Hall of Fame eligible for the last 16 years, which is bullshit. So they are what they are calling five modern era inductees into the Hall of Fame, right? So those five people are the five modern era inductees. So the five modern era inductees will join the following previously announced selections for the Pro Football Hall of Fame Centennial Class. You know, 100 years in the NFL, this is a Centennial Class. So the list goes like this. Coach Bill Cowher, baller, well-deserved. Coach Jimmy Johnson. Hey, man, when I saw the video, I'm a Cowboy. I'm a Dallas Cowboy. When I saw the video of Jimmy Johnson, when they told Jimmy Johnson that he had made it to the NFL Hall of Fame, I almost cried with him. I almost cried with him because thinking about everything Jimmy went through, all the ups and downs, everything Jimmy went through, Jimmy should have been in the Hall. It's well deserved, Jimmy Johnson, man. It's well deserved. Steve Sable, well deserved. NFL Films creator, NFL Films. He's the sights and the sounds of the NFL come from Steve Sable. Anything you see now, video footage and highlights and all these things, just know it all started with Steve Sable. Commissioner Paul Tagliabue, defensive tackle George Young, wide receiver Harold Carmichael, offensive lineman Jimbo Colbert, safety Bob Dylan, safety Cliff Harris, offensive tackle Winston Hill, defensive tackle Alex Karras, safety Donnie Shell, tackle Duke Slater, defensive end Max Speedy, and defensive end Ed Sprinkle. So I want everybody, y'all know how we do this. Y'all already know how we do this, man. Put y'all hands together for this 2020. All the things continue to go. Over now. Ed Sprinkle, Max Speedy, Duke Slater, Donnie Shell, Alex Carroll, Winston Hill, Cliff Harris, Bobby Dillon, Jimbo Colbert, Harold Carmichael, George Young, Paul Tagliabue, Steve Sable, Jimmy Johnson, Bill Cowher, Steve Hutchinson, Steve Atwater, Troy Polamalu, Isaac Bruce, and Edwin James. Congratulations, gentlemen, on making Pro Football Hall of Fame Class of 2020. Ballers. 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 That's what's up, man. So, move further into football, right? This, I ain't gonna spend too much time on this, but the LSU Tigers won the 2020 national championship. So hold on real quick. Hold on. Let me make sure I'm doing this right. Yeah. All right. So LSU won the 2020 national championship. They beat Clemson. They whooped Clemson. They drug their nuts across Clemson's face. Like, they literally, they drug their nuts across Clemson's face. Clemson put up a good fight early in the game, but they got their ass whooped. It was just. Much football. It was just too much. It was just too much. LSU was too much. That offense, man. That offense was live. That defense was live, man. I don't remember the score at the top of my head, so I'm looking for the score now. I thought I had this shit pulled up. Let's see. Final score. Damn it. Show me the final score thing. Yeah, I'm tripping. I thought I had this shit pulled up. That final score. They keep showing me everything but the final score. They keep showing me everything but the final score. 42-25. LSU beat Clemson 42-25. Joe Burrow balled out. Hell, everything about LSU was good. Everything. Joe Burrow was responsible, what, six, seven touchdowns? So, shout out to LSU. Shout out to Coach O, too, man. Shout out to Coach Ogeron for taking over a program who was going through some things, especially after they lost Les Miles. And it wasn't a great start. It wasn't a great start. But look at where they are now. I brought in that new offensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator brought this offense in. LSU spread it out. They're doing their thing. They're legendary offense. This LSU squad will go down as one of the greatest teams ever. I've still put my money on the 99 Florida State, the 01 Miami. 13 Florida State team I've been looking at, too. I still think those teams are better overall than this team, but this is one of the great LSU teams. I wonder if this LSU team will probably beat the one the last national championship. But shout out to LSU, shout out to Coach O and everybody in Baton Rouge, man. So That's what's up. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I did want to drop that. Also, like I say, the XFL, for all my football folk who like me, the XFL starts this Saturday, February 8th. So tune in. I think it's on Fox, I believe. I believe it's on Fox. But check your local listings because the XFL starts up February 8th. It's back, and they promise to do it better this time. So we gonna see. We so gonna see. With that XFL talking about, you heard me. So, my favorite, like I was saying, because I was having a conversation at my job earlier, right? Having a conversation about me and my intern was talking about like sports. We talked sports, and we're talking about favorite players and favorite teams. So for the NBA, I really don't have a favorite team. I tried to force myself to still be a Bulls fan after Jordan left. I'm just not a Bulls fan. I ain't going to lie. I was a Jordan fan. For the NBA, I more so root for individual players than teams, even though I will make my predictions and stick with my predictions and want that team to win because I predicted them to win. But so favorite players of all time, of course, Jordan, Iverson, Dwayne Wade, Maya Moore, Cynthia Cooper, Tina Thompson, Cheryl Swoops, Teresa Witherspoon, Dawn Staley, Gary Payton, just off the top of my head, Tim Duncan, them like T-Mac, Tracy McGrady, Penny Hardaway, Shaq. No, those are some of my favorite, but like my favorite, or it's Jordan, Jordan Pippen, Allen Iverson, Dwayne Wade, Maya Moore, Cheryl Swoops, Tina Thompson, Cheryl Swoops, Tina Thompson. I just said the lady's name. Cheryl Swoops, Tina Thompson. I came from the other lady who played for the Houston Comets. I just said her name, forgot it. But also, Teresa Witherspoon, Lisa Leslie. Them like my favorites. What is her name? Cheryl Swoops, not Cheryl Swoops. It was Cheryl Swoops, Tina Thompson, Cynthia Cooper. There she goes. Cynthia Cooper is one of my favorite basketball players of all time. Cynthia Cooper was a baller. But Maya Moore, the reason why I brought that up, because Maya Moore, currently my current favorite basketball player, even though she's been inactive. She was inactive last season, and she will be inactive this season. She's also sitting out the Olympics as she advocates for an inmate's release. Y'all like how I did that? Y'all like how I run that bitch in? You know what I'm talking about? Because y'all like, why are you talking about Maya Moore? Because this why. So WNBA superstar Maya Moore is packing up her sneakers for the second straight season to focus her attention on advocating for a Missouri inmate she believes to be innocent. The 30-year-old Minnesota Lynx basketball player, and I'm 36 too, so Maya, we can get married. I'm just saying, I'm single, Maya Moore. I'm just saying, I'm single. We can get married. I like you. But the 30-year-old Minnesota Lynx basketball player told the New York Times in an interview Wednesday that she will sit out the season and skip the 2020 Olympics to fight for Jonathan Irons, an inmate serving a 50-year sentence for burglary and assault. I'm in a really good place right now with my life, and I don't want to change anything, she said. Basketball has not been foremost in my mind. I've been able to rest and connect with people around me, actually being there in the presence after all of these years on the road, and I've been able to be there for Jonathan. Moore first met Jonathan Irons in 2007 during a visit to the Jefferson City Correctional Facility. The athlete's godparents had met Irons through a ministry outreach program and wanted Moore to meet him. Her godparents and Irons was wrongly convicted when at 16 he was arrested and charged in a burglary and shooting in a home near St. Louis. The homeowner was shot twice, including once in the temple. After he returned home and found an intruder hiding in his closet, the homeowner survived. Irons was arrested, tried as an adult, and convicted of the crime. Online jail records show that Irons, now 39, is serving 50 years in prison. Moore told NBC News in a 2019 interview that there were no physical evidence, DNA, or fingerprints tying Irons to the crime. Irons maintains his innocence and has appealed his conviction multiple times. Ever since their meeting More than 10 years ago, Moore has been fighting on Irons' behalf. Last year, at the height of her career, she announced she was sitting out for the season to focus on criminal justice reform and to advocate for Irons' release. And I just want to put it like this. If Maya Moore never plays another a minute of basketball, she's the first ballot Hall of Famer. I just want to put that out there. In a statement Wednesday, Minnesota Lynx head coach and general manager Cheryl Reeves praised Moore for using her platform to advocate for prison reform. That's very noble, man. Like, that's very noble. I love to see human beings. Love to see people with human beings. Over the last year, we have been in frequent contact with Maya around the great work in the criminal justice reform and ministry in which she is fully engaged, Reeves said in a statement posted on WNBA's website. We're proud of the ways that Maya is advocating for justice, using her platform to impact social change. Moore joined the Minnesota Lynx in 2011, the same year she was crowned Rookie of the Year and won her first NBA championship. She went on to win three more championships, 2013, 15, and 17, according to her WNBA bio. 2014, she won the league's Most Valuable Player Award. In 2016, she was named one of the 20 greatest, most influential players in league history. She's also a two-time Olympic gold medalist, won in 2012 and won in 2016. So, got to give a round of applause and a shout-out to Maya Moore for what she's doing. Definitely, definitely, Maya Moore. What you're doing is noble, man. So we got to give you a round of applause for that, Maya. He's a bad man. Stand up. Just as caring as she can be. She's a bad man. Stand up. Just as caring as she can be. So, shout out to Maya Moore and what she's doing. I'm not questioning her sitting out, but one thought that was going through my mind is I'm not challenging her on her decision to sit out, but I was asking myself, does she have to sit out to do this? Because does she make more money and all this? Those are just questions that was running through my mind. Can't her playing help her have more money or be able to use that money to put into it? But that's not something serious. So that's just a thought that came through my mind. And the WNBA just negotiated a new collective bargaining agreement, which is why I will go more further into detail on next week's show about the WNBA's collective new CBA deal that they came up with. So shout out to Maya Moore for everything that she's doing. And I just hope she continues to fall out on and off the court. So switch gears real quick, go to boxing, right? And Gervonta Davis, I saw a video earlier. I heard on the radio that Gervonta Davis got into a physical confrontation with the mother of his child. Then I saw the video, and yeah, that's an unhealthy relationship that they're in. They're not, from the looks of everything that happened, don't look like they're in a healthy relationship. So the video went out and everything, and everybody was saying that Gervonta beat the lady. No, he didn't beat her. He jacked her up and walked out. He shouldn't have done that, though. Keep your goddamn hands to yourself, Gervonta. You shouldn't have done that shit. Shouldn't have done that. Because if she related to me and I find she did, I don't give a shit how much you box, you get your ass whooped. Street fighting and ring fighting, two different types of fighting. All right? So now this is Gervonta's statement. I never once hit her, David said. Yeah, I was aggressive and told her, come on. Yeah, but you jacked the lady up and basically pulled her out of the venue. Can't do that. That's the mother of my child. I would never hurt her. Yeah, but you would be dominant and aggressive to her. Chill out. Chill out, bro. I don't know the whole situation. Come on, bro. Chill out. Because cameras are everywhere, and that's why they got you out here putting out these statements. You trying to defend yourself and make it look like you ain't out here trying to kill nobody. You know what I'm talking about? But, and it was a charity basketball game. And in Miami over this past weekend, one of the hottest rising stars of boxing. And so I played a video right here. in the video. Play the video. Play the video. It's stupid. It don't want to play. But in the video, basically, you can see Javonte walking up to the lady, jacking her up, and dragging her out of the venue. That was it on the video. So, witnesses tell us the two began yelling at each other and things turned physical, although it's unclear who put hands on who first. And that's a bit misleading, too. It wasn't necessarily, because when you say who put hands on two people, automatically think about fighting. But he did jack her up and drag her out. Although it's unclear who, blah, blah, blah. But you can see in the video, it's a heated situation and the two were both escorted out. And we were told no one has been arrested, but we were told the people who behind the event were upset with Javonte Davis for that turn of events. It definitely looks like an unhealthy relationship from the outside looking in. From that situation, it looked like them two may not should be together. Javonte, you got to make better decisions, my brother. You have to make better decisions. Yes, you didn't. In this video, we did not see you beat that lady, and I'm glad we did not see that. And we probably wouldn't see that in a public place because that usually don't happen like that. Now, I'm not insinuating that anything went down when they got home. What I am insinuating is it's not a good look. And it doesn't look like y'all have a healthy relationship, and shit like this cannot be happening. You can't be doing shit like this, Javonte. Shit like this cannot happen. It cannot happen. Healthy relationships is what we promote over here. And healthy relationships should be the norm, not these unhealthy relationships. So it looked like they're in an unhealthy relationship. So I'm going to keep my eye on this story and see how much information I can get to tell y'all too. But on my way to work this morning, listening to ESPN Radio, heard about this. No, matter of fact, I'm listening to The Breakfast Club. This is one on the rumor report on The Breakfast Club that Javonte got into this physical altercation. Yes, he didn't beat the lady up, but he jacked her ass up and drug her out, which shouldn't have happened. In the first place, that shouldn't have happened. That's not okay. Definitely not okay. So, yeah. So that's my weekly rant warm up. That's my weekly rant warm up because it's time. Time for my weekly rant, the first one of season 5. Let's go. Yeah, I got a little more musical on y'all motherfuckers out here. Ooh, ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. All right, so. NBC anchor Denise. Oh, shit, I'm tripping. It say denies. My ass talking about Denise. Boy, what the hell are you looking at, boy? So, MSNBC anchor denies using racial slur during Kobe Bryant reporting. And the bitch is lying because she used the word nigga. I heard her. Her ass lying with this ugly ass haircut she got, right? So she got one of them Jimmy Neutron haircuts, right? As the world mourned the loss of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna, an MSNBC reporter is now apologizing after a racial slur was used on her reporting. She said nigga. Stops beating around the pussy. She called him a nigga. So during Allison Morris's, her name is Allison Morris, by the way. MSNBC reporter Allison Moore, anchor Allison Moore. During her segment, the anchor somehow mixed up the words Los Angeles Lakers with the Los Angeles niggers. So, Lakers and nigger, it ends the same, but don't start the same. So she was saying, she said nakers. But if you go back and listen, she said niggers. She said niggers. She said the Los Angeles niggers. Yeah, she did. She did. So in the tweet, Somebody saying, so MSNBC anchor said what I thought she said, right? So, but those who heard the word were pretty sure they heard correctly. Shortly after the segment, Morris issued an apology and stated she would never use a racial term, which is the bitch's line because she called him a nigga. If you go back and listen to it, she called him a nigga. Her little ugly ass, that ugly ass haircut is lying out her ugly ass face with that fucked up Jimmy Neutron haircut she got. She lying like a motherfucker, and she called Kobe a nigga. Allison Moore's your bitch ass is lying. So earlier today, while reporting on the tragic news of Kobe Bryant passing, this is her. Hold on, let me get my Allison voice.
This is my, this is Allison. This is I'm the white girl with the Jimmy Neutron cut. Earlier today, while reporting on tragic news of Kobe Bryant's passing, I unfortunately stuttered on air, combining the name of the Knicks and the Lakers. Say Lakers.
That's what she tweeted. Bitch, you lying. You lying. The Knicks don't even have nothing to do with this. The New York Knicks don't have nothing to do with Kobe Bryant. You said niggers. You didn't say Lakers. I heard you, bitch. You said niggers. Tell me you mixed up the Knicks and the Lakers. That's your lies. Come on, man. Your lie is stupid. Your lie is trash. Hot trash. Then she's going to say,
please know that I do not and will never use a racial term, and I apologize for the confusion caused.
Bitch, you lying. Tell me you would never use a racial slur. Bitch, stop lying. Yes, use one on air in front of everybody. So we know you're using this shit behind closed doors at your house with your other white friends. And allegedly, now you looking like a suspected white supremacist. So I'm going to use my, Pat and them told me I got to start saying allegedly and stuff like that. I can't be so blunt. So, all right, Pat. So, she allegedly called Kobe a nigga. Allegedly called Kobe a nigga, but I was listening. So, but allegedly, she called Kobe a nigga. So, she's a suspected white supremacist. She allegedly did some suspected white supremacy shit on air. So, the rest of this is like, people on Twitter responded to her tweet like, bitch, you lying. You know goddamn well, good in hell well, you said niggers, not nakers. So somebody, Toya on Twitter was like, girl, you did not say nakers. We heard you loud and clear. So, because she didn't say nakers. She said niggers. She said niggers. Go back and listen to it. What's the white girl name again? Allison Morris. Come on, Allison. Be a real one. If you're gonna have the balls to call that man a nigga, have the balls to say, yeah, I called him a nigga, but now you trying to save your little job and save your little face with your little ugly ass haircut. She got the real Jimmy Neutron flip. Like a real Jimmy Neutron flip, little stupid ass girl. Little ugly ass little white girl, right? So she's saying, I didn't call him a nigga. I said the nakers. Nah, I heard you loud and clear. Everybody heard you loud and clear. Go back. If you don't believe me, go back and listen to the audio yourself. She called that man a nigga. She took the opportunity to call that man a nigga. She probably wasn't a white. She could be one of the white girls who just a flat-out racist. Could be. And also could be one of the white girls who are flat-out racist who are feminists, one of those fake feminists who only really like white women but who has a vendetta against men, period, across the board. So, of course, you know they got a vendetta against black men because they see all, like, those feminists who don't get it. See, you know, they see black men as all black men as predators, those feminists who don't get it, especially those feminists who support white supremacy, right? And that's real. Like, that's real. Like, you got feminists who support white supremacy. Be like, how the fuck you a feminist? You support white supremacy. It shouldn't go together, but it go together, right? This is America, right? So, all those things. And the reason why I say that about the feminist movement and feminism, because feminism shits on black women. It shits on black women. So this woman, she probably one of those people who and I'm not saying she is a feminist. I'm not saying she represents, but she sounds like some of those I'm saying she sounds like some of those feminists who I've come across and I've heard who are racist and just flat out hate men. That's what she sounds like. So, talking about, she said Nakers. Nah, bitch, you said Lakers. Girl, we heard you. You lying like a motherfucker. You call that man a nigga. And, yeah, we heard you. And we're going to let your ass have it. So every chance I get, I'm going to let your ass have it, Allison Morris. Every chance I get because of your alleged, air quote, use of the word nigga live on MSNBC when reporting about Kobe Bryant. So fuck you and everything you stand for, Allison Morris. Just know that. Fuck you and everything you stand for. It's your little ugly ass haircut. And your ugly ass life. Because you're an ugly ass person. You're an ugly ass person. Let's just call it what it is. You're an ugly ass person. And I ain't talking about your looks. I'm talking about your whole being. You're an ugly ass person. Because only ugly ass, racist ass people who support white supremacists would go on live TV and say some shit like that. Or would just say that shit, period, anywhere. So everything points to you being a suspected white supremacist and a bitch-ass, ugly-ass person. So Allison Morris, kiss ass, lick ass, suck dick, and go to hell. And that's all I got to say about that. Man, that's my weekly rant, man. This is the Fix Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, which is the realest and the blackest and the funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life right here on the Freedom Train Network. Once again, Kobe, Gigi, and everybody else who perished in that helicopter crash, this show is dedicated to you all. I'm going to make sure that I honor Kobe by being the best person I can be and working hard. Shout out to Patrick Irvin. Shout out to Enigma September. Shout out to Chef Davis. Shout out to Queen Candace, who's the new co-host of Shelby's World. So y'all make sure y'all check out the Fix Sports Podcast, you know, every Monday right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Every Wednesday, check out the Freedom Train Podcast series as well as Shelby's World with guest host with a co-host, Queen Candace. Every Friday, catch the live showing so far. Right now, catch the live showing of the Enigma Set Hour. And every Saturday, make sure you catch the Lessons from the Screen podcast hosted by Patrick Irvin, and it really go down. Now, I want to give a special shout-out to my homeboy, Maurice Love, Maurice.Love, man. I appreciate you come through, man, like a real friend supposed to. My computer broke. You wouldn't believe it. Like, my computer broke, and I needed a new laptop, and my dog, Doc, came through, and he had a laptop that he wasn't using, and he's allowing me to use the laptop until I get my own. So, hey, man, I love you, bro. I appreciate you, bro. I wanted to wait till I get on this podcast so the world could know that my homeboy, I got real friends. My homeboy, Doc Love, man, I appreciate you because, like, I really appreciate, like, you didn't have to do that, but you did to help me out to make sure I could keep my stuff going. And I greatly, greatly appreciate that. Like, I'm going to remember that. That's what friends do, man. I appreciate you because, so I just want to let the world know, man, that I got real friends, man. Hey, man, next Monday it's going down, man. We're coming back, episode 2, and we're dropping these things on your face like we got down Mike Tyson in his prime, man. So with that being said, we got to get the hell up out of here because we got to go get some real business going on. So two fingers in the air like a player, man. Y'all know we just don't care because we is up out of here.
We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead.
I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless.